heart beats faster and faster.
The impartial friend, death, the only immortal who treats us alike. That was a quote by Mark Twain, everybody, and this is your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
That's right, Paranormal Broadcasting, where everybody wants to know what we're really like. Well, this is it, folks. You got it. Sorry.
They probably want their money back now. Hey, gang, we are back live in studio. We'll be in the G&D chat room. Guess it. All night long.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And this is your Ghostman, Sean B.
And that would make me someone's Demon Hunter, a.k.a. Nathan S.
Everybody's Demon Hunter. That's right. That's right. This is Sunday, the August 23rd broadcast of our little show that you like so much.
The Ghostman Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris and is broadcast live on Absurd Radio, Omnisound Radio, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is broadcast, or is recorded for, Planet Paranormal Radio and the Black Vault Radio Network and the Para X Radio Network.
Oh, man, I think I got some bad Tootsie Roll. I got gas really bad right now. I do, real bad. I think it's bad. Oh, there you go, there you go. Okay, guys, tonight we rock Into the Dark Time with Elizabeth Cox, author of Shannon Delaney paranormal mystery novels. So it's going to get good, it's going to get creepy, it's going to get wild tonight on your favorite show, the Ghostman Demon Hunter show.
It's somebody's favorite. It's got to be, you know.
Somebody's got to like us.
It's got to, somewhere. And you know why, Sean? It's because the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Are you heathens and hooligans? Come on, get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother. I could use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans. Come on, get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal. And your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes. Oh, is that Bob has a cheering section now? Demon
he
Bob,
does. Bunch of kids. We love them, man. We love the kids. We love. See, this is the children's paranormal broadcast. So I recommend you don't play us. For
I would
kids,
say but... no, it's not the children's paranormal broadcast.
Well, we do use fart noises and horns and bells and stuff, so it's, you never know.
Yes, but that's because we're children of in the 30s, so it's
right.
Okay.
In the 70s. I'm a 75 baby, guys. That's right. I was going over today, Nate. I was going over statistics, and I was watching actually a couple days ago, the Brady Bunch movie. You know the remake?
Yes, I do know that movie. I did watch that movie. I do not try and hide the fact that I watched that movie.
Right. I remember the original episode where Marcia got smoked in the nose with the football that Bobby and Greg was throwing around the back. You remember that?
Oh, everyone remembers that, Sean. Yes. Oh, my God.
Marcia. It was great,
and the
man.
Wig, the wig from, Jan's giant wig. And
Yeah,
we all did feel bad for Jan. It was sad. Even back then, if I saw something coming that was just that ridiculous, I knew I was not gonna be able to handle it. I would change the channel because I knew I was just gonna crack up or something.
Yeah, it was great, man. I loved it. I loved it so much. I had to watch the movie. I've seen it a couple times, but it's great, man. They cover everything, you know, the big stuff, the Tiki God curse.
Yep.
In Hawaii, and then they dealt with Marcia getting her nose smashed.
And just when you thought they couldn't cover any more stuff about the Brady Bunch, they came out with a second movie. Yes, I do remember that.
I don't think I've seen the second movie yet.
Oh, you got to see the second movie. They throw some real twists in there about that one.
Was that the... okay, maybe I did. That was the imposter dad that came
in. That was the one. We all always wondered what happened to to Mrs. Brady's first husband.
I think she just slept around. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Seems to be the way to go, you know. Anyway, guys, we want to thank you once again from all our listeners around the world. Thank you for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of the Demon Hunter and Ghost Man show.
That's
I changed
right.
it up a little bit.
That's
there.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. For once, I get top billing. Wow.
See?
You know, I was just sitting there talking to some friends today, and they asked me what was the strangest thing I saw when we were out filming, Sean.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it Gowan naked? Or
No, I fortunately didn't see our friend Jason Gowan naked. What I did see is every producer and director of the program downloading fart machines onto their phones.
You can't get enough of them. You know what I mean?
So that it's every time somebody yelled cut or told us to redo do something or go somewhere else, you know, whenever we get... just about any time except when we were ghost hunting, you'd be in the middle of a conversation, all of a sudden you'd hear wah, on the other side of the room and grown men giggling on the other side of the room. And
it was awesome. I love that, man. I love the fact that we work with professionals like that. I love that. They signed my paychecks. That's a good thing. I really enjoy that. So So what's going on this week, Demon Hunter? It has been... I got to tell you guys, it has been one of the longest weeks of the Ghost Man's life, and I'm glad to be sitting here tonight in the studio. You know, the one thing that never changes, Demon Hunter, is our studio. In 2 years, well, wait, we're over the two-year mark now.
We are over the two-year mark. It was 2 years back in February, Sean.
Back in February. We're working on our third year, guys, knowing you, you knowing us, and we love you so much. But it feels so good to be back in studio, man, be sitting in my chair. I mean, it was great on the road. Nate, you know, me and you being together, taking as much of each other as we could handle. And, of course, Gowan. And it was great seeing us every day and doing our thing, man. I just hope America loves us come October.
So do I. So do I. Because I really want to get out there and have more fun and do some stuff that, really, folks, nobody else is doing. So in the paranormal world. So
you know, I was talking to Tim earlier. I called in on, of course, Tim Yancey and Trish from Encounters Radio.
Oh, yes, our buddies Tim and Trish.
Yeah, that comes on right before our show, guys. And I called in on the show tonight, and I was talking to them, and they were wanting to know about the show, Nate. And you know how tight-lipped we got to be right now.
Yeah, I know. People are asking questions. We wish we could tell you more, but we're telling you everything that we can. Really, we are.
Actually, the commercials should start coming up in September, I would think.
So I have heard that that's what people can look out for. Yep.
Late September, guys, middle September on A&E, commercials should start coming out. And I can't wait till we can tell everybody about it. They can ask us questions about the episodes. Like, was Jason Gowan really naked laying in the hay in that episode? You know, we can tell them. But, of course he wasn't. That was all, you know, they
CGI.
All put that in.
CGI, yeah.
CGI, yeah, it was all CGI. That really wasn't Jason Gowan's butt or Nathan's. That was fake. That was really my butt, though, guys. When you see that, I believe it's episode 8.
Sean was the only one willing to do it himself. I had a stunt butt, but...
It's called The Butt of Gods.
Yes.
It'd be me, front cover, so... Anyway, guys, let's give a special shout-out to everybody in the chat room tonight, bro. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good idea. There's a lot of people in that chat room tonight.
All right, let's start it up. I'm going to try not to read our names. I do every week. But we got Coast to Coast Ghost in the house. We got Jamie. What's up, Jamie? We got Ghostly Designs Ghost Girl 88. I don't know why she can't be 75, but she's 88. And you got Ghost Chaser Sir Gareth. Sir, what's up? We got Jerry, the Big Mac, in the house. The Midwest Paranormal something or other. It runs off the screen, guys, but we love you too. But Woogie Pie, Egon Cox, and Marianne. But I think they're off the right now. I don't think they're on. So they're missing out, guys. They're missing out.
Well,
but you know what? It was go ahead, Nate. I'm sorry.
I also want to send a thank out. I'm trying to find the email here. We had a listener of the show contact us and ask us what our favorite locations were in Gettysburg.
Yeah, he's going to Gettysburg.
And,
Big G.
You know, Sean and I love Gettysburg. There's no getting around it. If I could move to Gettysburg tomorrow, I probably would. I love Gettysburg.
That's, of course, where the G&D show started, guys.
That is. First time we ever worked together, Gettysburg.
I believe it was over a pitcher or several pitchers of beer in an old bar.
Yeah, I showed up, walked in, to never met Sean before. He said, "Nate, it's great to finally meet you. Have a beer."
And let's get smashed.
Then after he ordered three more pitchers, he said, "I think it's your turn to buy a pitcher." So
that's it. And then you bought the rest of the night, and that's how I roll. I buy the first guys, then once you're good and saucy, you'll be broke in the morning. That's all I got to say. But no, I paid for my share too. But they had that, the Yingling beer there in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it was like $3 a pitcher or something like that.
Yeah, it was $3 a pitcher. So it's very, very good beer for the price. But man, the morning was terrible after that. We had to sleep together actually in Gettysburg.
Well, we had to share a bed in Gettysburg.
No, we had to sleep together. Let's tell him the truth here. But, you know, Doug, our good friend from Ghostly Talk Radio, I believe it's in his contract. He gets his own bed by himself. Whenever we all go somewhere together, he gets to sleep by himself. I don't understand that. We should have that put in our contract.
Well, you know, it was very strange, I got to say, Sean, actually going out and filming. Sean and Jason and I are all used to doing conventions. We all, like, get out there. We're trying to save money. We share a room. We went out filming, and we each got our own room, and I didn't know what to do with my time.
I know.
And then we stayed in that one hotel where our rooms had no windows.
Right.
So
you could have been like Gallon and with your spare time. Can you say that on the air?
Oh, no, you can't. I got to check my time here.
I think you could say that. My gosh. My goodness. Come on, guys. Tell us in the chat room. Can you say that on the air? I don't know. You can play fart noises, though.
You can. You can do that.
That was terrible.
But I did want to say thanks out there to Mike from Grip Paranormal for contacting us, asking our favorite places. I sent him a few locations that we love to go to, including Spangler Springs. But, Mike, when you're out of Spangler Springs, I don't know what that sound is.
That was a gun going off.
Okay. When you're out at Spangler Springs, watch out for the spring itself. It's tricky. I fell in. You don't want to. So
he did, and it stinks. The spring stinks.
It does. It smells really bad, guys. It smells really bad.
It smells terrible. But you know what? When Nathan fell in, it just made me want to laugh really hard.
Sean has a new toy in the studio, if you haven't noticed, and he also has soundtracks. His toy vibrates, so we don't let him use it during the show.
It's called Pete. I like to call it by its name. But we don't have little Jason Gowan in the house tonight. Apparently, he had to go grocery shopping or looking for, I don't know, toilet paper or something. Something important.
I'm not sure, but he's not with us tonight. And that's why we're going to go over some news with Sean and I here. I'm going to light up my Oliva G. Our buddy Rob is getting married this week, and I went out to the bachelor party last night, and we all celebrated.
Sorry, Rob. I need funeral music to play for that, man. Dun, 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 dun. I can't even do it. But that's great, Rob, really.
We all celebrated with some Oliva G's and cognac, and so tonight.
Where'd you get those cigars from,
Demon Hunter? We got them at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut, Sean.
Butthead's! That was a long one. I didn't mean it to be that long. We're going to go over our segment. But,
lighting up a nice Oliva G, and it's very tasty. And
I'm out of cigars. Our good friend of the show, Jerry, he hasn't restocked me with cigars yet. Jerry, what are you thinking, man? I don't have a cigar in studio tonight. It's terrible. He said he's got a Cuban for me, though.
No, he doesn't, because that would be illegal. So he does
not.
He does not have that for you, Sean.
And what, I'll you be think edited. The Men in Black are listening? It's a Kmart version of the Cuban,
yeah,
of course.
It's grown with Cuban seed, which is perfectly legal, which is what he has. So.
Cuban seed? You're talking sex now. I'm talking about cigars. No, of course it wasn't a Cuban. It was a
Dominican.
Cubanister. How's that?
There you go.
Cubanister cigar. There you go. I hope Jerry don't have the cops show up.
Just keep digging your hole deeper, Sean. And
Jerry, the cops are coming, man.
Oh my goodness! But
that's terrible.
But what was I thinking here, Sean? You totally ruined me with the with contacting the cops and selling out one of our friends. We were going on to the news. Any good news this week, Mr. Burris?
Good news. Well, let's check the archives here from the, of course, good people at About.com. Me and Demon Hunter suggest that everybody goes to About.com because that's where we get our stories a lot of the time. Not all the time, but a lot of the time we get them. But this one came out of the press, fresh off the presses. National Frenzy Over Crying Boy Cursed Paintings, Demon Hunter.
Okay.
Now, you might remember a story similar to this. Remember when they had that thing on eBay? The painting that everybody, the haunting painting.
The haunted painting. Well, there's always something haunted for sale on eBay.
Yeah, yeah. It's always very, like last week we read the story about how to capture a ghost in a bottle.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
apparently
yeah.
If you go to eBay, people have already captured ghost in a bottle, and they got them for sale at a very reasonable price.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Only if I knew ghost hunting was so easy. Anyway, National Frenzy Over Crying Boy Cursed Paintings. It says, the story followed the aftermath of a house fire in Rotherham in which a chip pan blaze gutted the terraced council house of Ron and May Hall. Only this chip pan fire was different. Hung in the badly damaged downstairs of the house was the frame advertisement deep print of a toddler with tears rolling down his face, completely untouched by the blaze. Of course, guys, if you Google the National Frenzy Over Crying Boy, it'll bring the painting up for you guys. It says the story grew into a national frenzy thanks to the digging of Sheffield Star reporter John Murphy, who discovered that the local fire brigade had fought 50 fires in which the painting had survived. Okay?
Okay.
The then Rotham Fire Station manager, Alan Wilkinson, said the fires were all caused by human carelessness, such as cigarettes or chip pans. What the heck's a chip pan, Demon Hunter?
I'd spell it for me, Sean.
It's a chip and pans.
I don't know.
C-H-I-P and pans. I don't know what that is. Must be something big in the UK. Anyway, if you want to, but once the sun had ran with the story, it grew. More and more reports of cursed paintings started to pour in. Sonder Caskey of Kilbourne, North Yorkshire, said she and her sister-in-law had been the victim of several devastating fires since they had bought their crying boy prints. Apparently, you can buy prints of this, guys.
Oh, okay, but Sean. Chip pans are fryers where they fry French fries.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that could start a fire in your house if you got a fryer. What's up with that? What are these, all McDonald's that have these paintings or what? But anyway, the cheap prints available in department stores, Demon Hunter, had proved particularly popular in working-class northern towns. Headlines included Blazing Curse of the Crying Boy and Tears for Fears. Dr. David Clark, who has researched the subject, had discovered there are at least five different versions of the painting, picture painted, by elusive Spanish artist called Bruni Armadia, who worked under the name of Giovanni Bragolin. Take a drink, guys. Of Franchot Seville. Last year, Dr. Clark wrote a cover story on the urban legend in the monthly publication The 14 Times, which specializes in supernatural stories. He will be speaking about the subject on BBC's one of the shows they got in the October time. That's what they say anyway in the UK. When he will also appear on the BBC documentary on UFOs and present it by Danny Dyer. So there you go, guys. There's a picture going around the UK right now of a crying boy that's cursed. Even the prints of this picture are cursed.
Does that mean, like, each time they print from the print, the curse gets weaker? So if we just keep printing it off of an old print, the curse will get weaker and weaker and weaker?
I don't know. People keep buying their keep burning their houses down with this, man. It's been pretty crazy. But the haunting painting on eBay, the haunted painting. I guess a couple people bought that and they said nothing ever happened. So you never know. You never know. So what do you got, Demon? Are you got anything?
I don't have any news with me this week, Sean. I was really busy this week helping with Rob's wedding, and I was working for a change. So,
yeah.
You know, yesterday I worked for the radio station down at the New York Renaissance Festival, which was a lot of fun. You know, I got to say, those bodices that the girls wear.
Yeah.
Definitely a reason to go to the Renaissance Fair just to see those bodices. So
the kids were applauding. You've been working. So,
I don't blame them. I was applauding too. Just one look at those bodices and woo, yeah, I was clapping.
Bodices get me hot. I want that T-shirt. Bodices get me hot.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they get the girls that have to wear them hot too because.
Well, see, here in America we wear teabags, so the bodice doesn't do much here.
Okay. See? Okay. Yeah.
That's what I've heard anyway. I've seen a picture one time in a magazine.
If you say so, man. I thought when you said tea, I was afraid you were going to say something else there. So I
We do have another story.
We do. Yay.
We do. Gal eats herself to death.
Gal?
Gal. Just like, not Gowan, but G-A-L. Gal.
Okay.
Woman. A 47-year-old woman loaded a shopping cart with groceries and then ate herself to death in the store's parking lot. I don't think our listeners are ready for this, but I'm going to give it to them, Demon Hunter.
I want
to
hear this.
Okay. Carmela Massari was pronounced dead on the asphalt less than 25 feet from the entrance of Giovanni's supermarket in Parma, Italy. It was initially believed that the 360-pound woman suffered a heart attack during the massive pig out. But an autopsy report revealed that her death was the result of an internal bleeding caused by the rupture of her severely stretched stomach. Her stomach popped like a toy balloon, coroner said. She ate enough pork sausage alone to fill a horse.
I didn't know horses ate pork sausage.
Well, that's what the coroner said. That's an official word from Italy's coroner. We also found other foods, including chicken, beef, and seafood in her abdominal cavity. This woman clearly ate herself to death. Witnesses couldn't have agreed more. They said Miss Massari entered the supermarket alone around 6 p.m. and loaded up a cart like food was going out of style. According to the product codes found on her register receipt, the woman bought 5 jumbo pork sausages. Sausage. 2 baked chickens and a pair of picnic hams, whatever the heck that is. She also picked up 2 jars of olives, 5 cans of smoked clams, 4 boxes of chocolate eclairs, and a can opener. You gotta have a can opener.
I guess so.
Yeah, she ate 2 sausages and a baked chicken while she was standing in the checkout line, said housewife Lori Rotolo. Cashier Mario Oliva added, after she paid for her groceries, she then left the store. She really dug in at that point. She stood on the curb and opened and ate 2 hams, which watched her for the next. They watched her for the next 20 to 30 minutes until she had polished off everything in the cart. Then she started gagging and fell down in the parking lot.
So she actually finished all the food before she died.
She did. She started gagging. She had so much. We called an ambulance. Gagging. This just sounds dirty. We called an ambulance, but by the time it got there, she was dead. Miss Massari's best friend, Sergio Saluri, said the lady never married and lived to eat. She was real serious about her food and real fat, says Saluri. So there you go, guys. Don't eat all your food in the grocery cart right away.
I guess so. Now, here's the question.
Yeah.
When people start ghost hunting in that parking lot, are they going to bring a ham to try and lure the ghost out?
I know I would. I know.
I've got pork rinds.
Lots of pork rinds. I would. Thank you. That was good.
Oh, man. Oh, but you know, Sean, it's weird being back. It's weird being back on the air because nobody yells cut.
They don't yell cut, but they do yell. Yeah, oh. Boo.
Oh, Sean.
I got a new toy. I'm going to wear that out, man. Wear it out.
Whatever happened to the gypsy witch who brought the mail?
Oh, the witch. Well, I lost her in the move. Apparently, she didn't want to be a part of the GAD show anymore. And she took off. But we did have the gypsy witch for a while. Rest in peace, gypsy witch. Wherever you may be, I'm sure she's dead since she's not a part of the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show anymore. But I did lose her. I lost her. But Halloween's coming back. Who knows what fun things I'll find at the Halloween store. So you never know.
You know, if I don't find a full-time job soon, I'll be working at that Halloween store, so I might be able to get you some discounts.
See? You can get me all kinds of discounts. That'd be good, man. But you don't have to worry. You're going to be a world-famous movie star.
Yeah. The only problem is when you're paying a mortgage, the mortgage company doesn't want to hear that they have to wait till you're a movie star.
They don't believe.
Nah, they don't have faith in the programming.
Well, you know, what are you going to do, man?
I got to say, though, between yesterday going to the Renaissance Festival, last night going to the bachelor party, and then today I went up to the Bridgewater Fair in Bridgewater, Connecticut.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. And
what'd you do there? What was that thing like?
Well, it was actually really cool. It was an old-fashioned kind of country fair that I used to go to when I was a kid.
Okay.
And they have one up here in Connecticut at the Bridgewater Fair. They have horse shows and cow shows and, you know, you go in and they've got the chickens and the pigs and everything under the sun. But
yeah.
The problem was the parking lot from all the rain was muddy and they couldn't let you park out there.
Okay.
So they had people parking in other locations.
All right.
And nobody was there to direct traffic once you got out of your cars, so I walked the wrong way and walked around the entire fairgrounds the back way before I found the entrance on the other side. And so I was exhausted by the time I got into the fair. I walked in, I was like, you know what, I just don't want to do anything now. But they do have great roast beef sandwiches at the fair, so... But today was the last
day. They do. They get good everything. Everything's fried, though. I remember they had fried Twinkies there last year.
I went to a fair this year that had fried Oreos. It's no wonder I'm gaining 500 pounds.
Right. But, right. The Coast to Coast Ghost Hunter says the power of food compels you, talking about the story we read. But
at least I'm not eating all the fried Twinkies and fried Oreos in the parking lot outside of the fair. So.
Right.
Oh, but, you know, man. It's like very, very hard to be back. I do have to thank everybody for coming back and joining us at the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Want to thank those folks over at hauntedamericantours.com. Thank all our listeners for voting for us again this year to make us one of the top 10 paranormal broadcasts out there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And
we're actually on the – we were number 10.
We were number 10 this year. Not bad for not having several months of shows. So. Mm-hmm. But our fans are still there, even when we can't be, and we're gonna take you guys with us when we go out and do this TV show. So,
I love the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show fan base. These people are too cool. Everybody in the chat room, these guys are just nuts. We got the craziest fans of the show out there, man. These guys, I love them. I would drink beer with all of them.
The one thing I miss is I no longer get the downloads of the international listeners. So we can't pull up our international listeners' names anymore. So
yeah, because we were big in China.
We were huge in China.
That was about it, too, China.
And Scotland.
Scotty, yeah.
And Australia. Those were the places. So yeah. If you're in any of those countries or any other country that you listen to our show, the only way we're going to get to announce that you're the international listeners of the week now is if you email us and tell us. So don't forget, you can email the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show at ghostanddemon@gmail.com. Sean, what do you say we go to a quick break? When we come back, we'll have our guest for tonight.
Okay, guys. Hold on. Let me get my... Actually, I think I threw it away. Okay, stay tuned. Tonight's guest is going to be hot. It's going to be real. It's going to be live.
It's going to be Elizabeth... am I saying this right? Egon Cox?
Egon, that's from the... Hold on, let me grab this out of the trash can.
We're going to have to ask her when she comes in.
But Elizabeth Cox!
Elizabeth Cox. She's the author of the Shannon Delaney Paranormal Mystery Novels. And we will be back with Elizabeth after this.
All right, guys, stay tuned.
Hey, this is Nathan S. of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. When we needed a logo that would tell people what we were all about but was different from anything else out there, we went right to Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com. We love the artwork that owner and illustrator Jonathan Sullivan came up with so much, we ordered our t-shirts and banners from Loki Graphics right away. They provided us with high-quality graphic art, screen printing, and helped us pick out the best value for our t-shirts and other products that fit our budget. LokiGraphicsInc.com is the official graphic designer and screen printer for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Phone, email, and postal orders are all accepted with contact information available on their website. Shipping is available for any order, or if you're local, you can stop by the shop and pick up your finished product. Check out Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com and tell them the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sent you.
Welcome to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. Get your weekly download to all things ghostly and paranormal and then some. Test your knowledge of the paranormal with haunted trivia. Email your otherworldly experiences for Parashare and listen in to the rants and useless banter of Laura and Brian. If they've got an opinion on the paranormal,
or even a great pub,
they'll talk about it. The Deadline can be easily downloaded from the NJGHS.net website. You can also listen to archive shows at PodcastAlley.com. Say, while at Podcast Alley, cast a vote for The Deadline, because everyone knows that at some point in life, you have to meet The Deadline.
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day, www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Experience the charm and mystery of the Deep South through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
Hi, this is Tom Mott of Michigan's Other Side and Michigan MUFON, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
That is our friend Soul Dog. You can check more about them at, what is it, guitarviking.com. Rev
Viking.
And Friends. And Rev and Friends, and very cool guys, good music, check them out. And now, Sean, we are back, and we are back with
Elizabeth Cox, author of the Shannon Delaney Paranormal Mystery Novels.
Elizabeth, I think I was saying your name wrong. what? Between Elizabeth and Cox, there's...
Yeah, it's actually Egan Cox.
Egan Cox.
But that's okay. I know lots of people have trouble with that.
I kept calling you Egon, so...
But, yeah, hey. It's Egan. Like in Egan, Minnesota, although I'm Southern.
Southern girl!
Yeah, all my ancestry is Southern, going all the way back to Virginia of 1632.
Oh, wow. Hey, don't let your ancestors ruin your trip, babe. You know what I'm saying? I had to say that, man. I had to say. I think I seen it on an episode of the Brady Bunch, the rewrites. Don't be a square, babe. I love that stuff, man. I am so retro. Okay. Elizabeth, when were you born? Can you tell us what year you were born, or do you not want to?
Oh, Sean is so... So, Sean, that's just the wrong thing to ask.
I gave her the option!
The comments of Sean Burr do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter
Sean,
or their affiliates.
I've done a little bit of research on you and Nathan, and you guys could be my sons.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness, no way! You sound too young to have a crazy son like us.
You sound too intelligent to have a crazy son like Sean.
Actually, my oldest son is named Sean, but we spell it S-E-A-N.
Oh, not the Irish spelling, I see. What do you got against the Irish, huh? What do you got?
Yeah, actually, that is the Irish spelling. It's just a little bit older out of County Cork, Ireland.
Oh, well, I always heard that the Irish spelling was S-H-A-U-N, which is my name. But, of course, that was for the female people. I let that go.
Yeah.
There you go, guys. I got a girl's name.
There's a great opening for a joke, and Sean, I'm going to... be the bigger man and not use it. But
oh, you're not the bigger man. You're going to use it. You're going to use it sometime.
I'm going to wait till you're really down in the dumps one day and really, really catch that window.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. That was kind of a weak screen. Hey, let me tell you something, Elizabeth. If we were your sons, I'm sure you would put us in some kind of hospital a long time ago, right? For mental health or...
No, you know. I think I would have given you some kind of sleep therapy and just let you sleep through, you know, just kind of put you to bed and put you to sleep and give you something that would keep you asleep until you would wake up with sanity.
Well, now we're talking, see? It's called Miller High Life.
And then you would have all these crazy dreams, you know, that you could turn into a book or, I know, you could turn them into a radio show.
Hey,
see?
Maybe this radio show is just a dream, Sean. So,
I think it is. It's like a bad dream that won't stop. But of course, we got Elizabeth on tonight, and it turns into a good dream with her.
There you go. So we're not going to say that Sean's having good dreams about you, Elizabeth. But
I am Elizabeth.
So, are there any characters like Sean and I in any of your books, Elizabeth?
Probably not the ones that are actually walking the earth. You know, the reason my book is, or my series, it's actually a series, it's called Paranormal, which, by the way, probably a year ago, that was almost an alien term to me. I would have used supernatural, but my publisher said, no, it's paranormal. And so, yeah, I could see you guys, you know, showing up in one of the yet-to-come novels on Shannon Delaney as a spirit visitation.
So you want to make me break into a song, you know, feeling superstitious. What was it? Stevie Wonder. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, or, you know, like Black Magic Woman.
Oh, that's a great song.
Sure.
Black Magic Woman. I got my guitar.
So, folks, be expecting to see Ghostman and Demon Hunter character types showing up in Shannon Delaney novels in the future.
Well, actually, in book 3, which I just put me into last week, there is a paranormal investigation society called GHOST, and I think it, gosh, I can't remember what the acronym stands for other than...
Ghost.
I know. Ghost Hunters of Southern Territories.
Okay.
So we're talking about Southern Territories out here in Southern California.
See, that would be a nice place to ghost hunt, Sean. Usually when you and I get the chance to go out and ghost hunt together, it was nice to go out and film together because we were actually places that were warm. But usually Sean and I get to go visit each other in the winter. So it's like we're walking around in buildings that have no heat at 3 in the morning in like a snowstorm outside. So
right. Well, where are you at, Elizabeth, so everybody can come visit you? You don't have to give your address or nothing.
No, okay. I am in Southern California, but I am not in surf and sand. I'm in an alpine forest. I live smack dab on the largest earthquake fault line in California, the San Andreas Fault, and it created the mountains that I live in. So I actually live in an area where we get deep snow.
Now, do you get... you're in the mountains, but do you actually get earthquakes where you are?
Oh, yeah. I am on the San Andreas Fault.
Don't touch me.
I am smack dab on the San Andreas Fault in Southern California. The mountains out here were created from earthquakes, not from volcanoes or glaciers. And so I live in the tallest mountains of Southern California. I'm a little over 6,000 elevation, and the two mountains here beside me are around 11,000.
So if we lose contact with you sometime during the show, we should call FEMA right away.
Yes.
Okay. So, Elizabeth, I think it's safe to say, Elizabeth, you are a mountain woman.
Oh, I'm definitely a mountain woman.
I like that.
Yeah, definitely. I live in a three-story home. We heat it with two wood stoves. That is our only heat. And we have, you know, I jokingly may have referred to mountain lions, you know, coyotes and bears, but we do. A week ago we had a mountain lion come right up to my bedroom window, and I shut that really quick.
Can I bring my banjo when I come out?
Can you bring what?
My banjo. I want to bring my banjo when I come out there. I've been taking lessons.
We're more into the blues out here, especially blues that has a Latin flavor, like Jesse Cook.
Oh, ritzy mountain people.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Elizabeth, the funny thing, too, is you had the mountain lion walk up to your window and you had to slam it closed really fast. And women seem to do that, too, when Sean's crawling up to their window.
Yeah. So. Elizabeth, I think you probably drink your moonshine from a wine glass, don't you?
I drink Bushmills, and I drink it straight with black coffee.
Bushmills, yeah. That's awesome.
Oh. Huh? So, we could go on like this all night, but we'll never hear about this great series of books you came out. Now, you said a year ago you didn't even know the term paranormal. You called it supernatural.
But
were you involved in the the supernatural world at all? Did you know anything that went on with the people around you involved with it?
Well, I'm very, very Celtic. Okay. And, if you go to my website, there's a little bit of information on there. I still belong to the international clan MacEagan, which is where my name Egan comes from.
Yo.
My cousins live in a castle in Ireland. It's called Redwood Castle. It's the oldest castle in Ireland that has remained resided in by the original clan.
Erin Gobra, baby, yeah.
Yeah, Erin Gobra. So, you know, I kind of grew up very much into a Celtic idea and concept, and I do belong to the Anglican Catholic, or here in the U.S., it's the Episcopal Church. Many people don't realize that the Celtic cross is the official symbol of that church. You know, and this is the church that is at Trinity College Dublin that is the guardian of the famous Book of Kells. So I just kind of grew up with that whole concept. We call it blood memory.
Okay.
And aside from, you know, all of the sensationalism associated with the horror aspect, you know, vampires and all that kind of silly stuff.
Yeah.
Blood memory in any of the Celtic lands, because I'm also Scottish and a little bit English and a little bit Welsh, it really refers to the talents and intelligences that all of us inherit through our DNA that are not physical. In other words, your intuitive talents or your intuitive intelligences. And I used to write a whole lot of nonfiction, and I've done a lot of PR for some major companies. And so I decided to go into writing fiction, and I knew I wanted to write cozy mystery, and I just knew I would have to include an element of what I called supernatural, in the sense that there are ghosts that are very key to the whole plot line, and the ghosts are not treated as novelties, they're treated as characters that are very critical to the story. So,
wow.
No, a year ago, actually, I think one of the very first radio shows I ever did, and I just did a return to her show, is Annette Jones, who does the Paranormal Book Club on one of the radio stations, I don't remember which, and
okay.
Then a huge name in that whole paranormal thing, Karen Dolan of Through the Keyhole.
And yes.
Yeah, okay. In fact, Karen, one of her blurbs is used on the back of my book. So, you know, the whole paranormal thing, you know, that just seemed like such a broad label to put on what I would consider just old-fashioned supernatural spirit visitation or a ghost.
Okay.
Very cool. Now, when you kind of were introduced to the paranormal and the ideas out there right now going around with ghost hunting groups and things mm-hmm. like that, did you put any of that into the books that you're working on?
Not really. Like, I jokingly said that in book 3 that I just finished, I mentioned that there is a paranormal investigation group that's interested in something that's going on, and it just kind of turns out by association that one of the members of that group is the nephew to one of the major characters, a guy who is he's a former San Diego detective who specialized in high-end theft, such as art and artifacts, and his name is Francisco Zavala, and mm-hmm. it happens to be his nephew. But,
oh.
No, in my field, always being surrounded by some form of the supernatural as part of our actual life, if there was some kind of an issue with a spirit visitation, we would... Honestly, we would go to our priests.
Right.
You know, and this is something I've talked with, because I'm one of those people that I can say honestly say that the priest in charge knows me on a first-name basis.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, but it's because I will bring up, you know, questions like this, and our priest has, like, 2 masters in, you know, all sorts of human behavior and so on and so forth. And so... You know, I remember being a little girl and talking with probably a cousin who was a priest and saying, but what about ghosts?
Right.
And it was always just explained to me that a ghost is a spirit visitation. And if it's, you know, whatever kind of ghost the person might be is probably very relative to the behavior and the character of that person when they were alive on Earth.
Now, see, Elizabeth, I got to butt in real quick. It
uh-huh.
seems like the Catholic priest that I spoke to, because I was raised Irish Catholic, and then I went from there to Baptist, then from Baptist to who knows what I was, and now I'm just not a member. I'm a believer, but not a member of an organized religion. But at the same time, I remember my dad would go to these cats, and I grew up in a haunted house, and he would ask them what they thought about ghosts, and they would automatically, at least from the Baptist side, and guys, don't get mad at me if you're a Baptist out there. I'm not saying Baptist or backwoods or nothing, but mine was. And they would say automatically, you have a demon in your house. You know, because my dad went to him and he said, you know, we hear footsteps at night, or we hear whispering, and they would say, you know, you have a demonic presence in your house. And I just found that out by talking to priests and different other people. Not all religious men believe that everything's a demon.
Exactly. Yeah, I can tell you I've had spirit visitation, and I think I proposed to you some kind of a little program tonight based on are your ancestors your ghosts?
Right.
And I know that the spirit visitation I have had are, if they're not my ancestors, they are loved ones that have passed on. And I just feel like the more that you can surround yourself with that kind of good spirit, which is why it's important to find out if a spirit visitation is a loved one, then the less likely you are to maybe experience a negative energy in the spirit visitation.
Right. But now, Elizabeth, you're a mountain girl. You told us that. And you said before this book, paranormal was a weird term to you.
But yeah, because I would have used the word supernatural.
Okay.
That's the only reason. Paranormal, I just thought, well, you know, when did this word paranormal come into use? And I would have used the word supernatural. I mean, I think that's still probably a little bit more common term when you talk with people who are accustomed, like in the Celtic culture. And,
right.
You know, I've made a point of always saying it's not the whole concept of blood memory, of the chance that you have inherited an intuitive talent through a relative, it's not unique to the Celtic culture. It's just that we're probably a little bit more likely to talk about it.
You know, it's funny too, Shannon, because when I first started studying paranormal, I studied with psychics originally. And among them, it was called psychic investigations. So I didn't really hear the term paranormal until I moved to Connecticut nearly 10 years later. So it was a new term to me back then. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, that means I've been doing this for 20 years, Sean.
I was familiar with the term parapsychology because out here in Southern California in Riverside, there was a parapsychology group, and I went to high school in Riverside, and that's near a large university called the University of California at Riverside. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very forward. It had always been kind of very forward, you know, socially and that kind of thing. Like all of the major lecturers always came to UC Riverside. And so I always knew about the parapsychology group in Riverside and that they would do investigations relative to a house or a place being haunted or a person having haunted experiences. So I was familiar with parapsychology, but not paranormal.
Right. Right. So what got you, Elizabeth, let's go back to when you were a little girl.
Uh-huh.
And when you first, did you have any experiences as a small child? Because usually an author such as yourself that goes into this line of, you know, information about books you write about the paranormal, supernatural, what have you, usually they have some kind of experience as a small child or an adult. Can you tell us about yours?
Well, the one that I can say that I honestly remember, because I think maybe I did as a small child, but I would not have remembered them. But I was only 14 years old when my father died, and I was here in California, and he was in Florida. And I feel that his spirit came to me about considering the time difference, about the time that was really close to his death.
Yeah.
And it told me not to be afraid. And I think that was, and it was in the wee hours of the morning, and I remember just kind of waiting for the phone to ring. And I was the first one to answer the phone. It rang about 5 a.m., our time in California, and it was the hospital telling us that he had died.
Oh, wow.
So
you had like a premonition.
I don't think it was a premonition. I think it was actually my father's spirit that woke me up because I sat up in bed, and at first I thought I heard something, not afraid, no, not like a burglar or anything, but just something,
right.
Like maybe the rumbling of an earthquake. But I didn't, and I just sat there very quiet, and I can't explain how the thought or those words were conveyed to me, but I can remember saying to myself, okay, Daddy, I won't be afraid.
Right. Now, I got a question. I got a question real quick, Elizabeth, from the chat room, and we didn't get on EVPs tonight, but do you know what EVP is?
The electronic voice phenomena.
Yes, ma'am. And we had a question, Elizabeth, from the chat room that says, if you got an EVP that says, kill her, something like that, how would you react?
Well, I talk about identifying stuff like that because one of the first things you've got to try and do is identify who said it. And often, you know, I mean, I watch the shows where they get EVPs, and sometimes it's not really clear. And the other problem is that we are interpreting what we hear based on our own frame of reference. And so we've got to be really, really careful. It's important to try and identify who the voice is coming from, you know, where it's coming from, who that personality is. Because one of the things I caution about is that language and frame of reference has changed drastically over the years. And I'm going to give you two really quick examples. One example is the word gum, you know, like bubble gum.
Yeah.
Well, the word gum is fairly new to our vocabulary, although you, I, and probably anyone else alive today grew up with that word in our vocabulary. But previous to maybe the 1920s, the word gum, G-U-M, meant trap. And so if you heard someone say he was gummed, okay, it meant he was trapped. And if you heard someone
say Sean would
say
have a totally different idea of what that meant.
Yeah, not only that, but if you heard someone say he was gummed, you might think you misheard it, and it was gunned, like he was gunned down. And so you've got to really research the vocabulary and all the various frame of references to what you think you heard, or at least how you are interpreting it. Another really common one while we're on the voice thing is the word Jesse. Today we think of the word Jesse as a name, you know, like Jesse James.
Yeah.
Well, once you get past, and I keep saying like the 1920s, it's because after World War I, due to the influence of our GIs going over into Europe, they came back with a lot of vocabulary that was entered into our frame of reference. So prior to World War I, vocabulary was really different in the frame of reference. And the word Jesse was not necessarily a name. It meant they got Jesse'd or they got Jesse. It meant they got beat up or they got cussed out. And along those lines, if you heard, well, he was blessed out or I blessed him out, and that's still used in the South today, it meant they were cussed out with profanity.
Wow.
So you've got
we're gonna have
to
bring
really
a linguist with us when we go in on investigations now.
I have told so many ghost hunters that they really should have a genealogist on board, because even though I'm an author, you know, I mentioned to you that I'm a member of the DAR, and, you know, really, really strict requirements for doing all of that genealogy back to a Revolutionary War patriot. And you have to learn the history in order to go back that far and document it.
Well, we talked briefly about my genealogy when we were discussing it, and I told you how we traced our family back to Klaus O. von Schunthaven, who was one of the brothers who actually was sent over to map out the New York area in the mid-1600s.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and see, and Nathan, that's a classic example. A lot of people today do not realize that New York was originally a Dutch colony.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, I mean, originally it was New Amsterdam.
In fact, Wall Street was called Wall Street because a wall was built there to keep the English out.
Yeah.
Right. And since we're throwing in quick facts, guys, I just got to show the name Jesse. This is way off the wall, guys. But my family, my grandmother and my grandfather, my great-great-great-grandmother and grandfather, were held because they took Jesse James in and gave him food and water. They were actually arrested for that. Just a quick fact. Yeah, a quick fact from Sean. There you go, everybody.
Okay, so Sean, was this in, like, Missouri?
Actually, it was in Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky. I have lots of ancestry in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's where all my family came over from Ireland, and then they went straight to Kentucky, apparently, and then moved over to Indiana, where the taxes were cheaper, I guess. So.
Oh, my gosh. Were they in northern Kentucky?
They were. They were in northern Kentucky.
Were they around, like, in the area across from Evansville, Indiana?
They sure were. And here's another quick fact for you, Elizabeth. The last name was Cox. Cox married Sparks. And
okay,
that's
Cox,
where...
Cox is my maiden, my married name.
Uh-huh.
But if they were in Evansville, Indiana... Okay, Sean, did your Irish people come over in the 1800s?
Yes, they did.
Okay. This is what happened, and this is something that applies to all over Northern Europe, not just the UK and Ireland. What people don't realize is that many, many men came over alone or with their families, because up until the Civil War, most of the coal mines in Northern Kentucky were owned by the English throne. And so they knew if they hopped on a ship, no matter how they got on that ship, if they got to Kentucky, they could go to work in the Queen's coal mines.
Uh-huh.
And the English throne owned those coal mines up until around the Civil War, when it became sort of a predicament, you know, and we were too troublesome, and so they sold the coal mines. But,
right. The Irish like to scrap, that's all I know.
Yeah, my great-grandfather, James Egan, went right from County Tipperary, Ireland, over to Hancock County,
mm-hmm.
Northern Kentucky, right across from Evansville, Indiana.
Oh. All I know is my grandmother came over. She was a single lady with two kids, and she came over from Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually landed in Kentucky, Northern Kentucky. And I don't know much past that, but that's where it all started.
Well, okay, if you ever get to looking for her, the thing you will probably do first is start looking in Baltimore or Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And what you may need to remember is that a lot of people came up through New Orleans, because the boats that go down the Mississippi also go up. And then they
right.
connect to the Ohio River, and from the Ohio River, you're right there in Kentucky. So lots and lots of people forget to look at the port of New Orleans.
Well, I think this, Elizabeth, I think you need to come into town for Irish Fest this year. What do you think about that?
where are you? Where are you guys?
Indianapolis, and Nathan's in Connecticut.
Oh, okay. I thought Nathan was in Connecticut.
Yeah, I travel a lot, but I'm based out of Connecticut.
I'm in the Hoosier State.
Yeah, and you're over in Indiana.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Sean, I was born in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was just kind of a quirky thing. My father went back there for a few years, and that's where I was born. His mother was there, and she was ill. But between, right around kindergarten, we moved back out here to Southern California. So I grew up in Southern California. But
wow. I don't blame you guys for getting away from the Midwest at all.
Oh, but no. I actually probably get more snow than what you do there in Indianapolis.
Wow.
Up there
in the mountains, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? We don't salt our roads. So, it's like I drive a Jeep Wrangler. Because I need to. I love to also.
Gas hog!
Elizabeth, we're going to have to wrap in a couple minutes, but I want to hit a couple more things before we do. I wanted to ask you, we were talking before about ghosts being your ancestors or people who cared about you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a lot of interaction in your books between the ghosts and the human or the living?
Yes. Yeah, the main ghost that shows up in book one is a Scottish magician from the 1800s. He built the Victorian house that book one takes place in, and he is the ongoing ghost. But there are other ghosts. In book two, there is a real pirate who pirated California coast, and there is one of my favorite conquistadors.
Ah.
So book two, the history goes back into the 1500s when we had conquistadors, and also the 1800s with the French pirates.
You know, I always thought I would make a good conquistador. I think I would. I like wearing metal hats.
Can you sound like Antonio Banderas?
I can, but I just don't want to do it on the air. You know what I mean?
No, don't ask
Sean.
Call
me later, Elizabeth. I'll do it.
Sean, don't ask Sean to do an accent, please.
I could do an Irish one.
No, you can't.
I can.
But they're all cheering for Sean. They always cheer for Sean.
They do. I love those kids.
Elizabeth, if people want to check out your website, they can find it at www.elizabeth. I'm going to say this right this time. Egan Cox.
Egan.
Elizabeth. EganCox.net. That's Elizabeth. EAGANCOX.net. Is there any other websites they can find you on?
That's the main website.
But if you go to that website, guys, you can see her books. You can see questions about the novels.
You can also find Elizabeth on hotirish.com.
No, Sean.
I'm kidding.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Oh, there we go. I feel better now.
That was good for Elizabeth. I was trying to tell her.
But you can follow her Twitter from there. You can find her Twitter. You can connect to. You can order her books. They look fabulous. They read great. Elizabeth, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show tonight. Can you hang on the line while Sean and I close up the show?
Sure will.
Hey, Sean.
She's an Irish girl. She'll hang, buddy.
She'll hang with us. Yo, yo.
Right.
Sean, time to thank everyone for joining us tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
God, is that another Sunday? Okay, well, I guess I'll read my little spiel here, guys. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com. I almost forgot the dot. Ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums because, hey, we want to hear from you guys.
And join us next week when it will be August 30th.
August, wow.
The end of August already, Sean. And we will have our special guest Justin Blair on. Justin did a documentary about vampires in Transylvania.
I've seen that. So has Jerry from the chat room. He's seen that.
It sounds very interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. And Sean, I'm sad to say, it's time to say goodnight.
All right, guys, another week. Hang tight, hang loose, guys. Have a good week at work. Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, guys.
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like much where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in, slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me want to say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. I don't need. And I don't need this, I wanna make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you wanna get the hell out of here.
Yeah.